Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, it's Cinco de Septo. It's time once again from the left-hand shoulder of Gitmo Nation.
This is No Agenda.
Hey, everybody, coming to you from the somewhat covert location in San Francisco, California. I'm Adam Curry.
And from a very warm northern Silicon Valley, the place that doesn't exist but does heat up, I'm John C. Dvorak.
I don't have my fader box with me, so I had to do it with the mouse.
Oh, a mouse.
Sorry. Yeah. No, with the trackpad, even worse. There's nothing worse than trying to hit a fader with a trackpad. It just doesn't work.
Where's the fader?
It's on the software.
No, I mean, where's the little, you have hardware to do this.
Yeah, where'd it go? I brought the wrong box. Can you believe it? I have two. Yeah, that's stupid.
You know, the way when I travel, I use a checklist.
Unlike when you prepare for this show, you mean? Yeah.
No, it's because I got sick and tired. I traveled enough. I got sick and tired of like showing up someplace and realizing I wasn't even wearing a belt.
What's on your checklist? Is it literally down to how many socks and you multiply by
days?
No,
I don't have the amounts, but the checklist has all kinds of stuff on it, and it's like,
get your checklist, man. Let's hear your checklist.
Well, let me go get it. Hang on a second.
I used to do these.
You're a pilot. I would think that you just do them.
No, man, I'm an airman, not a pilot. There's a big difference.
Airman.
Yeah, we don't mess around, dude.
An airman. You don't use a checklist.
No, an airman has the checklist in his head.
Oh, brother. Well, now that you mention it, I guess now I know why your wife won't fly with you. Okay, travel. This is my ultimate
travel check.
It's very long. I mean, I'll read part of it.
Well, just do some highlights.
Flight, boarding pass or confirmation number, ticket, confirmation number, hotels, confirmation number, car rental, map of area, address of hotel, itinerary, contact names and phone numbers, biz cards, antacids, appointment schedule.
Antacids? No anti-diarrheals?
No, I usually carry some antacids usually in my pocket because when on takeoff, usually on landing, because of the change in the air pressure, I could usually get a heartburn on landing. So I,
yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, no, that's very typical, by the way.
Yes, and yeah. So I have to put it on the checklist because I would be like, oh, geez, I don't have any antacids.
Oh, my stomach's killing me.
Okay, underwear, socks, T-shirt for sleeping, extra shirt, suit, comb, electric toothbrush, toothpaste, floss, razor blade.
Wait a minute, as opposed to the analog toothbrush?
Good point. Razor blades, black tie. I always have to
Have your black tie. You got to have, if you're a woman, you got to have your little black fuck me dress. And if you're a guy, you got to have black tie. It's standard issue.
And I'm talking about a long tie. And you can get these, by the way, almost everywhere. But a black tie, in other words, a regular tie.
Like the one I was wearing last night, John?
Yeah. That's black, goes with everything. And so you should always, so if you forget anything, like if you want to bring a special tie to look good.
So should the checklist fail, then the checklist actually has a backup built into it, is what you're saying.
Right.
So logical.
Goes on and on. Now, adapters.
You know what I do? No. So you know me, I have a huge bag that I schlep around with me, right?
Yeah.
That's where I don't have a checklist. I have the bag. I just know if I grab the bag.
Yeah, you never unpack the bag.
No, of course not, because everything I need is in there. It's a MacGyver bag.
If that's true, how come you forgot your fader buttons?
I brought my electric toothbrush.
That's not the answer to the question.
That was a unfortuitous happenstance.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, if you had a checklist that went on and on.
Yeah.
By the way, here's some other cool stuff in there. Cold weather, got spikes for ice. You know, these things you shoes.
What?
You know, these things you wrap on your shoes and you can walk, you can actually run on ice.
Ice spikes. You take those on, that's on your checklist?
It's on the checklist for cold weather. It's a special subcategory.
A special subcategory.
Yeah, well, y'all forget them. Gaffer's tape is on the checklist.
Because in case you break your arm or, because gaffer tape can fix anything.
Gaffer's tape is very handy and it's really useful.
It's the cat's meow.
And what I do with the gaffer's tape is I actually take a number of strips of it and put it on the suitcase itself.
Oh, you're one of those people?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
What's wrong with that?
It looks lame.
You can't tell. It's a black suitcase. You won't even know the gaffer's tape is on there.
So why do you put it on?
Because I don't want to have a roll of gaffer's tape clogging up the suitcase. I packed very light.
Wait, hold on a second. You put the, you wrap it around the handle?
No. It's across the back of the suitcase at the bottom. Just a big piece of it, a couple pieces about.
Oh, you don't take a roll?
No, God, no.
Oh.
Too much, no.
I think I have a roll of gaffer tape with me. You know, I had that bag with me. Someone said, "Ah, shit, man, the wireless mic crapped out." Oh, no problem. I have one in my bag.
Anyway, then in another subcategory is processes. So I did this. By the way, this checklist is mostly just check. It takes like an extra 2 minutes out of my day to go through the list. But I always wonder, well, oh, geez, I forgot that. On the processes is stuff like set the lights, feed the dog, water the plants, throw out the garbage.
Oh, you have a process list. So stuff you have to do before you leave.
Yeah. Mm. And then one of the things, there's a couple of things. One, actually visibly look to make sure that my driver's license is on me. I went to the airport once and there was no driver's license. It was a disaster because I stuffed it in my pocket.
You can't ID yourself and you can't right. go anywhere.
Yeah, heaven forbid in this Nazi state.
Yeah, I bought some medication the other day at the pharmacy. And I had to show my ID and they registered it and then I had to sign a waiver and agree that I wouldn't make drugs out of it because, you know, I guess the active ingredient in a lot of this decongestant stuff is what they use for crystal meth.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa.
Anyway, then that's, you know, just check the stove, stuff like that. But anyway, it was not a bad thing to do because occasionally, you know, there's nothing worse than walking out of the house, driving down the street and saying, cooking this morning.
Did I leave the stove on? Yeah.
I leave the stove on simmer, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Did I also turn off the Wi-Fi? I got to make, you know, do that.
I think you should publish this list. I think that's very handy for people who want a baseline, who want to travel in style, like the international man of mystery, John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, I could.
I think that would be a good idea.
There's a couple things that are individual to me, but for the most part, I could just publish this thing.
So, dude, a lot of wacky stuff going on. I've done very little. So a couple things, some programming notes. We're not streaming this live. The hotel, I don't know, something's messed up, but we had to get the show going. So should we just stream it live? So I stream it after the fact?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Okay. I'll do that.
That gives people that like to listen to it early before it gets onto the network. They can listen to it.
It'll be very close. Because, you know, the one thing is, it's really crazy. The hotel, and it really depends on what time, of course, you're on the network because, you know, it gets overloaded, I guess, at peak times of the day. But the upload speed sometimes is like, you know, like 10 megabit upload speed all of a sudden. I published the show the other day. It was up in 30 seconds. I was like, whoa, I've never witnessed that. That was cool.
Wow.
Imagine how much time and energy and how much the economy would actually improve just by the time savings of more bandwidth for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Yeah, because you sit there waiting.
You wait for everything all day long and we're such slaves to the waiting.
I know it should be a top priority of Obama.
I think it is.
So I'm watching some news show, and they're showing Obama giving a speech. I didn't hear the speech, but they just showed him. I've never seen this before. I mean, this guy's the president. But he's standing behind a podium, a bunch of flags behind him. The podium does not have the presidential seal. And I'm trying to decide whether this is an old clip or not. Uh-huh. It doesn't have the presidential seal. The podium's got a sign in front of him with the Obama logo. And then keeping America competitive – written on it, and then www.barackobama.com.
Huh?
So he basically decided to just do his own thing while being president.
Wait, I keep getting emails from barackobama.com, and because I signed up, obviously I signed up for a lot of candidates. And are you signed up to the list? You really should sign up because it's amazing what you get. You know, and they're always organizing something. They're always looking for more donations. I'm not quite sure how that works. Can the president continue to take donations while he's president?
I guess for his reelection campaign, he can. Why not?
And it's not even clear that it's for his reelection campaign. It's just
Well, maybe it's just to keep these staffers going.
Maybe.
keep BarackObama.com up and running. I just find it peculiar.
What was the message?
But you know what? Now that he's doing it, everybody after him is going to do this. Yeah. But, there's two things that every president, you know, every new guy comes along, like Reagan came along and he did certain things, and you know, he kept the press at bay and did certain kinds of speeches, and everybody now wants to do that. I mean, Bush is the only one who probably never really instituted anything original. But anyway, so Barack comes along, he has press conferences constantly. He's always on the TV. He's got his own thing going, the BarackObama.com, with his own logo instead of the presidential seal. And I mean, it's just like, you have to assume that, you know, this is the new standard.
What is he talking about?
Well, I don't know, because they were just showing a clip and talking over it, so I don't know what he was talking about.
Okay.
But it was obviously something. There was a big breaking news story this week, which I just, MSNBC had the equivalent of stop the presses, is breaking news that they put on these TV stations. And in the case of MSNBC, they actually went live to Barack Obama and Joe Biden ordering a hamburger.
And that was breaking news?
Yeah, it was breaking news on MSNBC, and they had a reporter on the spot, and then they had a mic on him. And Barack Obama saying, "I'd like to get a cheeseburger and with mustard."
Do you think the audience mustard? Actually and, sees the irony of this?
And no ketchup. And
no.
you have fries with that? And we got these potato tots. Oh, are they good? And the two of them go off and eat a hamburger. After hearing all this dialogue, I'm thinking, what are they wasting our time for? What is wrong with these people at MSNBC? Yeah, ooh, breaking news. Stop the presses. Barack Obama eats a hamburger.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, I've turned on the TV a couple times in these past few weeks, and I can't watch it, John. It's unfreaking watchable. It's just one dumb thing after another, and it's so stupid.
Well, these cable guys are crazy.
But that's all that's on. I mean, the networks during the day, there's nothing really on.
No, at night,
it's all drama that I'm totally not interested in. And then, you know, you switch around, and it looks like every channel is a kind of news channel, or have some breaking news or a ticker underneath, or, and it's just dumb.
Yes. So the big breaking news, was, of course, Elizabeth Edwards going on Oprah and essentially, giving her a sob story about her, ne'er-do-well husband, who had maybe a baby with this woman while running for president. They brought out a couple interesting facts. Apparently, everybody on his staff, including some people who quit the campaign, while he was running for president, everybody knew this was going on. And, you know, and the likelihood, I mean, he could have been president of the United States, and, you know, it would have been like, it would be an unbelievable disaster for the Democrat Party.
For that to come out.
Because, I mean, it was already borderline, and he already apparently, you know, I mean, when he ran for vice president against Bush, I mean, he's probably a philandering guy then. I mean, it was just one of those guys. But, you know, he always seemed like a sleazeball to me with that hair. You know, it's a stupid looking haircut, and he would apparently spend a fortune on it. And he'd always, and there are a lot of clips on YouTube where he gets all bent out of shape, where he's looking in the mirror, and he's, or mad at a makeup artist, you know, and he's primping himself.
Yeah, but John, be honest, he's a member of the elite. You know, this is exactly what these people are all about. I don't care. Show business for ugly people. How many times do I have to say it?
Well, it's pretty, it's your favorite quote. It's a good quote, by the way.
But it's absolutely, I used to say that to my Uncle Don, and he would crack up. He's like, man, you're horrible. You dropped out of school. You're making 10 times more money than I am. So, yep, you chose show business for ugly people, Uncle Don. There you go. He did have a cool red phone, though.
Red phones are cool.
And I picked it up once. I was a kid, you know, I picked it up. It was like, White House operator, how can I help you, Mr. Gregg? I'm like, oh, click, and I hung up. Yeah, like that was the right thing to do. 15 phones start ringing, buzzers start going. Oh, the good old days. So, of course, I've been really busy here in in San Francisco at the office and haven't had a lot of time to prep, but a couple of stories, you know, of course, keep lingering. And the 747 flyby, this story just gets weirder by the day. I don't know if you caught that I'm sure you did. The White House says they will not be releasing the pictures of the $300,000 photo op.
Why not?
Well, it's a matter of national security, of course. Here's what I think was going on, John. I think that this plane was probably filled with friends and family, groupies, Democratic Party leaders. You know, it was a joyride. And sure, it was a photo op. It was a photo op for all the people on the plane. And hey, man, come on, we'll go buzz in New York, dude. Come on, watch me now. Someone was on. It could have been Biden. I can just see Biden sitting on the plane with, you know, it's a joyride. And by the way, that's okay because that's how business is done, and I'm totally cool with it. You know, that's it's a tool. It's a tool of our commander in chief, our CEO, our chief executive. You know, America is a country.
Yeah, it's no different than a businessman who has a yacht and he puts all his, you know, clients
exactly
on the yacht and they go off.
I have no problem whatsoever. I think that is absolutely okay. I think that's I would be honored and privileged if I were asked to fly on this aircraft. It is a symbol of the United States, blah de blah de blah. But then you can just see Joe Biden, the Don, and you can just see him with all these people like, hey, watch this. Just go up to the cockpit and say, hey, boys, let's buzz Manhattan.
Can you loop around the Statue of Liberty
yeah
for us once?
You know, and that's what the F-16 was doing. You know, it's there for protection. It's got to be something like that. Because if the public finds out, because the public will not understand what we do understand. You know, it's okay. This is a tool. That's fine. But this is not transparency. That's the thing bugs me the most. You know, it's like, come on, man. If it's no big deal, just say, all right, you know. Barack Obama was great at apologizing in the first 14 days. I'm sorry. I screwed up. I messed up. My administration messed up. My guys didn't do a good job. You know, people appreciate that. Why not now?
Don't know. I think the transparency thing is bogus. It's obvious. Meanwhile, one of the things going on that's kind of interesting to me, and I caught this, and I have a clip here, which we'll play. Is the Democrats, you know, it's interesting to watch. If you remember like 4 years ago, people saying, you know, the Democrats are going to be a dead party. They can't do anything right. They're boneheads. You know, the Republicans just beat them in every way they can. And the Republicans were on top of the world. Now the thing is switched over to such an extreme the other way so quickly, which, by the way, the stock market can do that kind of thing too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So quickly that now, according to a couple of polls, only 20% of Americans will admit to being Republicans. You know, most of the mainstream Republicans are kind of humiliated by the takeover of the party by the extreme nutcases. And then the people that are actual conservatives, whether they're extreme nutcases or not, call themselves conservatives. They won't call themselves Republicans. And so
Do you have to?
I mean, do you have to what?
Do you have to call yourself a Republican if
you're
conservative?
Well, generally, in the olden days, at least 40% of the public would say that they're a Democrat or a Republican.
Right.
But when you have a number so low, there's almost nobody admitting to it.
And by the way, for people who are not American citizens, and for many of you who are, there are other parties you can be affiliated with. It is not a two-party system. Just so you know, Google it.
It's not a two-party system.
It could save the world.
It's a one-party system.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
John. Skull, my friend, welcome to the other side.
I've always said that. You got it from me.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, but I think one of the news stories that's going around is the one based on this clip that I have, if you have it queued up, which is from the Hardball show, and I just caught it by accident.
Is this Chris Matthews?
Yeah.
I think I might have seen this.
Yeah, this is Chris Matthews talking to this Republican from the 6th District of Indiana, and the people in the 6th District should be ashamed of themselves for electing a guy this stupid.
We're going to go all across the country with these energy summits, hear from the American people, and we're going to educate the American people on a 21st century Republican agenda for the environment.
You want to educate the American people about science and its relevance today. Do you believe in evolution, sir?
Do I believe in evolution?
I love it when people repeat the question, which is so obvious. Like, oh, crap, shit, think. That's probably what Miss California was thinking.
Maybe.
I embrace the view that God created the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that's in them.
Right, and, but you believe in evolution as the way
means,
he did it.
The means, Chris, that he used to do that, I can't say, but I do believe
you
in that fundamental
truth. Did you take biology in school? Did you take science, which is all based on evolutionary belief and assumption?
Well Chris...
do you believe... The reason I'm asking this, if your party wants to be credible on science, you've got to accept science, do you?
Yeah, I always wanted to play and inherit the wind, but on the global warming issue, I know that in the mainstream
see
media...
See how you're hedging? This is why people don't trust Republicans.
In the mainstream media, Chris, there is a denial of the growing skepticism in the scientific community about global warming.
Well, do you have a global? Is there a rising skepticism about evolution?
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So, is this guy saying that the Earth is warming up or not?
I don't know what he's saying. He seems to be just there's a basic tenet, I think, at play here. There's a group of Republicans that are brought in by, very conservative Christians that have, and, this is actually a minority of Christians that believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old. And but they're very noisy about it. And by the way, one of these people is George Gilder, a very famous technology maven who has a newsletter and tells people what stocks to invest in, and by the way, who is adored by John Doerr. But anyway, Gilder is part of this. Some of the reason this is happening is because Gilder's operation up in the Seattle area, I can't think of the name of it right now, but he just pumps in millions into this, and so this floats around this notion that the Earth's only 6,000 years old, and dinosaurs were here, for a few minutes, and I guess we lived with them and petted them and had them as pets and God knows what. But whatever the case is, a bunch of Republicans, there's way too many Republicans in office that are essentially ideologues, and I think that a lot of these conservative Christians that believe in this, and I still think it's a minority, have taken over the party. And so all Matthews is doing, and it happened a long time ago in California. The Republican Party in California has long since been taken over by guys who have they're ideological on a religious basis, very much like the Taliban. They won't give in on any points, and they just assume they don't even want to run people that can win. They want to run people that believe what they believe, and so they can't beat anybody. And that's now the whole party has gone this way, in Texas for sure, in California for sure, and obviously in Indiana with this bonehead. And so the only reason Arnold Schwarzenegger even got in is because he kind of snuck in.
Because it was Bone and Maria Shriver.
No, because he snuck in during a recall election off the other
that's
governor.
Right, that's right.
And
he
they
did,
didn't
yeah.
have time to organize against him.
After that guy killed Chandra Levy. Just keep saying it.
Keep doing this. But anyway, the point is that the party, generally speaking, is becoming just a religious party.
I know people that are lobbyists
for the Republicans, and they say, they're scared to death of this because they know they're never going to get elected again.
Yeah, this is very interesting, particularly when you think of the concept that it's really a one-party system. Perhaps the real party, the party behind the party, has just deserted the Republican Party. You know what I mean? And that's why you only have, 20% left over who have a particular view, which they're welcome to have it, obviously. I think it's very interesting you say they're just like the Taliban because, it sounds to me just as radical. And by the way, power to them.
Hey, I ain't got nothing against it. I just think if people want to, if the Republican Party wants to get, ever get a president in again or get the House and the Senate back, right now they're hoping upon hope that Obama screws up so badly. By the way, they had the same hope upon hope when Clinton got in, and Clinton just, rode them into the ground for 8 years. And if it wasn't for Clinton's own personal foibles, the Democrats probably would have still been in there. And they obviously, also running a nutcase like Al Gore didn't help.
No.
But the point is that the Democrats could stay in forever. if the Republicans are going to go in this direction and become, instead of the Republican Party, a religious party. They are a religious party. So if you vote for them, you're voting for like a specific religion that isn't necessarily what, you know, everybody belongs to. I mean, not everybody is an evangelical Christian type who believes that the earth was created 6,000 years ago. And by the way, we blog this all the time, and there's a new blog post on how the Texas Board of Education kind of voted in that, you know, the earth was, you know, maybe 6,000 years old. Just, and it's on YouTube.
Really?
It's hilarious. But
what does that mean? So that's going to be taught in schools, or?
Well, that's what they want to do. I mean, it's I don't know. You got to listen to this thing yourself, and it's kind of, they were just doing some, they were cutting something out of some of the paper, you know, some of the, you know, I don't know how the Board of Education works, but they have apparently a bunch of doctrines and they have to change this and that. They were kind of trying to push evolution out. But the point is that you have, you know, there's only certain religions that actually believe this 6,000 year thing. And it's not the majority of people, although every time they do a poll of the U.S. public now, it turns out that almost half the people in this country don't believe in evolution anymore, because it's, you know, this drumbeat of no, it's never been proven, has been, you know, it essentially stupefying the
people.
We're stupefying the public. These guys aren't helping things much. But the problem is, when you have a religious party, which is essentially what's happening here, you know, the religious people don't agree with each other. I mean, the Lutherans don't get along with the Methodists, and the Baptists have their own way of doing things. They don't even think you should drink wine, even though that's in the Bible. And, you know, so you get all these kind of little religious things going on within the group. And that doesn't do anybody any good. When all we really want to do is balance the budget, you know, and keep out of trouble.
So this does kind of flow into an interesting email that I received from one of our younger producers from Gitmo Nation East, James, who is can you turn down your speakers, John?
Oh, thank you. It's a little early in the show to say that.
Yeah, I want people to have a drink early.
All right.
James is 16 years old, and he's from the UK. And so this relates back to crazy shit our kids are being taught in school. I'll just read this verbatim because it's so beautiful. And I love the fact that we've got a younger audience tuning in and switching on. Hey, Adam and John, today at school in my GCSE chemistry class, that's your high school equivalency, we were each handed a sheet and asked to use the internet to research Monsanto to find out about their, quote, better way to make a weed killer and how they are improving farming processes through chemicals. I was shocked at this early indoctrination of today's youth, I love this kid, by large corporations such as Monsanto. When I raised this point to my friends, I was simply dismissed as a conspiracy theorist. I've managed to poor kid. I know what you're going to go through, son. I managed to convert one of them to listening to No Agenda, and I hope more will follow suit shortly. I just thought you and John might be interested in Monsanto's penetration into the education system. Thanks, and keep up the excellent podcasting essential that is No Agenda in the morning.
So, it's marketing. I mean, Monsanto should be, if I was in Monsanto's marketing team, I would, and I could get, and I could actually manage to do this.
Do that? Yeah.
I'd be all over it.
Isn't that just outrageous, though?
Yeah, of course. Well, what's outrageous is the teacher.
Yeah, I mean, is it part of the syllabus, though? That's what I want to know. Or the teacher just say, oh, well, you know, this is, you know, they must have been marketed.
Yeah.
And it's probably folder or some flyer in the teacher's lounge.
Yeah, or that, or they gave them a free, you know, a goodie bag and, you know, a T-shirt and some stuff.
Some flatware.
Flatware.
We really need to get our flatware.
We got to get. Yeah, we do. As a matter of fact,
this is no good.
So I got a note from David Koss, who donated the 1776 that we.
Yes, we were, which was the bicentennial.
Actually, it was 1976. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the bicentennial.
The 1976. The 1976 you said was a 200 year anniversary of 1776, right?
Which it was. That may have been not been the right.
That's what. No, his intention was the following. The first meaning for 1976 is for Adam, it's the year of the original swine flu outbreak.
Ah, of course. Now that I should have known.
You should have, actually.
Yeah.
And but the second one, he says, was for me. It turns out that 1976 was the year, or the general consensus is that Mandelbrot began working on his Mandelbrot set of fractals in 1976.
That, kiddies, is what we call a fractal.
Fractal. All right, so that's, I, you know, these people would design these things. It's unbelievable. So, so let's go over a couple of guys we should mention this week while we're here.
And you want to do it this early? Okay, that's cool.
Well, at the end, we should probably remind people that they should, we you know, the donations kind of fell off last week because we didn't hound them enough. And so we'll probably have to do it twice.
But and maybe we have to explain that, you know, there's a reason behind all this. For instance, you know, we spent an exorbitant amount of money last night to review the Four Seasons restaurant.
Right, and that costs, and it does cost money.
I mean,
And we'd like to make this something that actually pays, you know, for itself, and we need donations to do that, and we're not going to do advertising.
No.
Okay, so Chris Clark and John Matthews both gave us $50 last week, and John Cosimano and Lawrence, is it Polk or Folk? No, I'm going to have to look it up. I may have to
It's written on a piece of paper or something?
I wrote it down, yeah, but my P looks like it could be an R or an F. So it could be, it's Lawrence, either Rolk, Polk, or Folk.
My P smells of asparagus.
And he gave us $100, which I appreciate. And then I guess I mentioned his name in there with my mispronunciations. We got the 1776 guy. We got a 1701. I don't know what that means. Any ideas?
1701.
Some guy, Dave Roberts, sent us $6.24 about five times in a row. What do you think that is? 624? Is there anything 624? Is that
some drug reference? No, not that I can think of. No, not that I can think of.
And then somebody who obviously didn't want to get their name mentioned because they wouldn't give the 50, they didn't get to the $50 level, but they gave $48.71.
And now, are all these pre-PayPal's VIG?
Yeah, these are all pre, yeah,
pre
that
the VIG.
Other
pre the VIG.
PayPal thing was just
how much was it? For what?
$48.71. Any ideas?
No. I mean, I'm still catching up to the 2112, which I got about 100 emails from that's a famous Rush song.
I believe that's what it is, too.
Probably. The Rush fans have always been so incredibly dedicated and vigorous throughout the years.
Right.
Even on MTV, man, because MTV never played Rush. Never played Rush. If there was two things
it's because they hated Canada.
There was two things people hated about MTV. We didn't play Rush, and we didn't play New Kids on the Block. And the thing was, New Kids on the Block, it was always number one on Dial MTV, which was the predecessor to TRL. It was always number one because, of course, you know, New Kids on the Block were absolutely the shit. Certainly with Marky Mark, you know, they were a cute bunch of kids and they were doing their little thing and MTV refused to play it.
Well, I guess, you know, they had their reasons.
They thought it was lame.
Well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I like giving the people what they want.
So apparently the World Health Organization, when the swine flu thing broke out, did you know they made the comment that all of humanity is at risk?
Yeah, now this is getting weirder because now, of course, in the United States, it's been categorized as seasonal flu. And not only did they say the world population is at risk, but they raised their level to 5, which means pandemic is imminent. And the next level, apparently the highest, is 6, which means, hello, you're all effed. And now I'm hearing, well, you know, the one that's coming in August, that's going to be the one that's going to kill you.
Oh, I haven't heard this. What's this about?
Oh, geez. Oh, no. Now they're saying, they're certainly saying it in the United Kingdom, because I've heard this from friends and family, that we're lucky. In the UK, only 50 cases of swine flu, and one actually in Wandsworth, which isn't too far from where the terrace is. And it's okay. No one's dying. We're all going to be okay. But the one that's coming this fall, the one that's coming at the end of the year, that's going to be the big one. That's going to be the one that kills everybody. Literally.
You're kidding me.
No, so I think this the whole notion of the beta test is right. So what you're seeing now is, here's what I predict. It's pretty simple. Everything's in high gear. First of all, George Bush was getting massive props on... Maybe it was Chris Matthews. I don't know. He was getting massive props because he had stockpiled a couple billion dollars worth of Tamiflu. So, all hail the chief. Good job there, hooking your buddy Rumsfeld up before you release the frickin' virus that Tamiflu stops. So what's going to happen now is obvious. Everyone's going to have to be vaccinated before the big one, which is going to hit in autumn. And this is going to be, I think, one of the biggest debates we'll see this year will be vaccinate or not.
Well, you know, it seems to me they have their normal seasonal flu vaccine, which comes out in October.
Yeah, but we need a new one. We need stocks to go up.
In China, what is this interim flu? I mean, what are they trying to do? Sell the flu shot twice a year? I mean, what's the point of this?
Well,
I think it's a marketing scheme.
Yeah, it's a marketing scheme for the pharmaceuticals.
They want to sell the flu shots twice a year, make twice as much money.
Sure. Did you see LaRoche's stock skyrocket?
Yeah.
I mean, how obvious
is it? We should have seen that coming. Hello.
But we were reading the annual reports almost a year ago where they literally said the imminent, bird flu is what they were talking about. The imminent bird flu is putting $1 billion into our pipeline. We're going to be rich next year. Buy now while stocks are low. It's not like we're hiding anything.
I know, but we didn't buy.
Yeah.
This is the annoying part.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. We didn't buy into it.
You know, that's the problem.
Mm. So watch for that come to Gitmo Nation West. I'm sure the states will be that'll be the next story about the swine flu. You watch, it'll be well. And by the way, the CDC, I must have seen 15 different spokespeople for the CDC. And it was almost like they were testing which guy worked the best. You know, so we had kind of like the doctor. We had, you know, what, it'd be a guy in a white coat. He'd be the doctor. Then you'd have the PR guy. And then some woman who's like decked out with fruit salad of medals. I don't know what you get medals for when you work in the CDC, but she had them. You know, it was like a militaristic thing on stage.
So that, yeah, I think that would be a test. You know, so who's the best? Who's photogenic? Then they do a focus group afterwards and then you figure out who the spokesman's going to be.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm reminded when I was in Holland, not to bore people with more Holland stories, we go to these different restaurants, and one case was obvious. They were practicing. Everybody in the restaurant waited on us because they wanted to practice some English with their new employees, I guess. We never had the same wait person twice in a row, and it was like 15 people, one after another, coming up to help us. Never the same guy. It was always someone different. Huh. You know, one of them couldn't speak English at all, which was hilarious. But
and was the food okay?
Well, we'll talk about it. I'm writing a report on the food. The food
very
was
good.
Okay.
Very good. We had a good meal last night.
We ate at Seasons. Well, you know, I was disappointed overall. Now, Seasons is the four. The steak
It was probably because I was drunk. That's why. Oops, sorry. My mic is crapping out. We had a lot to drink. Certainly for me, you know, Mr.
Well,
one glass, one shot.
Yeah, that's true. Three people in the, you know, here's a couple of things you should note. Where's my doggy bag?
Oh, shit. Did you forget it?
I know. I was never given it.
I saw them with it. I saw them pack it.
I bet you
they put it right next to your chair and you just walked away without it.
I've never seen anyone put it down on the floor.
Well, clearly you forgot. Otherwise, you would have said, hey, where's my doggy bag?
No, I was testing. I was going to see, because usually if you got a doggy bag, especially when we're the last people in the place leaving, somebody says, hey, your bag, something.
Well, that's points off. That's a fail, actually. Seasons fails on that. You can't charge that much money and then fail on the doggy bag.
Exactly.
No
Now,
way.
The other one Now, was
now the our, I'll, let me just, I'm probably going to say it before you do. Our server, you know, we ordered some nice alcohol, and there was she was not a sommelier, and her presentation skills were, I mean, none, zero.
Yeah, well, the sommelier apparently wasn't working that night anyway, but we got good wine. The point is, though, I know in the last bottle, I didn't see I think they finished off the first bottle, but we had three of us there, and we had a second bottle, and they left wine in the bottle. I was keeping tabs on it because it was like, you know, because they just, because when she was pouring her last round, she was pouring, and she could have poured it out, you know, and there was not a bunch of goo in there or anything, but she didn't. She left it in there for some reason.
How much? How much do you think? Like a glass, not a glassful.
No, it was at least a, it was all, it was a good, it would have been a good half a glass full in it with a normal, like a small 8 ounce glass.
Maybe 4 ounces. Why didn't you grab that shit, put that to your lips, boy?
No, I wasn't that thirsty. Yeah. So, and I was waiting for him to do something, and the thing disappears, you know. So, I guess somebody needed a shot of wine in the back. But I thought that wasn't, but the service overall was good, except for the screw ups there. I thought that the food was, actually very tasty, generally speaking. There's a steakhouse with a variety of versions of different steak, and it's probably as good as any steakhouse, you know, except I think there's a place in Berkeley that has the best steak in the Bay Area. And I thought the place was a little I thought the atmosphere was a little funky for a Four Seasons. I thought it wasn't as ritzy.
Yeah, kind of like they didn't know what they want to be, if they want to be like a Ian Schrager type place or a classic Four Seasons vibe, which I appreciate more, honestly.
Yeah. So you just seem, you know, a Marriott kind of thing. And,
no, hold on a second. No. No. It was better than a Marriott kind of thing. I know the Marriott.
All right. So anyway, but the point is that I was looking at Yelp, and the Yelpers, a lot of people liked it, but most people cited the good service, and the service was attentive.
She was very, very nice server. She was right. Extremely attentive, and, but weird, you know, like we all had to taste the champagne. Like,
don't get that. I mean, what was the point of that?
I mean, but you don't even, do you even taste champagne the way you taste wine first?
No.
No, you just pour it and you drink it, right?
Yeah, especially when it's served by the glass. You know, they should be tasting it back there.
Oh, we didn't buy a bottle? That wasn't our bottle?
No, it was just a 3 glasses.
I thought I got a refill.
Well, if you got a refill, you checked, did they charge you for a second glass? I don't remember getting a refill.
By the time I was signing the check, I was so plastered. I'm like, what a lightweight. I'm a lightweight. You know I am.
Yeah, it's amusing. So anyway, if you're staying at the hotel and you want to get a good steak, I think that's a good place to go. The meat's quite tasty. The one you had, the Porterhouse,
was actually
quite delicious.
Yeah.
And the rest of the stuff was good. There wasn't anything, there was no fault with the food. I just thought that the place itself lacked a vibe.
It also lacked customers.
Yeah, that's what I think is one of the reasons. I think, well, maybe the place wasn't cheap, but at the same time, they didn't have. It wasn't a jumping joint. I would suspect that they're probably going to have to redesign the thing completely, and I think maybe its days as a steakhouse are numbered.
Was the wine that what was expensive? Because the bill was outrageous.
I don't know. I didn't see the bill. The one bottle of wine was $120.
Okay. Well, then it makes sense.
And the other bottle was like 80, so it's $200. Oh, okay. Of wine.
All right, then it makes sense.
So,
but still, I would say value for money, even without the wine, no.
Yeah, no. I mean, we recommended places that are. I mean, compare that to the, you know, sub $100 total bill at Limon.
Exactly.
Place. I mean, that's value for the money, lively atmosphere, terrific food, you know.
I would not recommend
this is the
this
kind of place
anybody.
That we were supposed to not go to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you had your friend in from Holland, this
Miriam.
Right. She who's just adorable. And so you wanted to show her off, so we went to the
yeah,
place.
I did.
So we probably could have gone to someplace else, but anyway, whatever the case was, it's out
so
of the
she
way.
Hated the champagne, but I guess she was too polite to say anything. She saw this. I love the champagne. That was the best champagne I've ever had.
Really, it was Onrio.
Because it was really smooth. And she said, "Oh no, I don't. That's not. Doesn't taste like champagne. I guess she likes kind of the biting taste."
Well, she probably likes a chalkier style. Actually, yeah. Onrio, generally speaking, is or used to be a chalky style. I don't know.
It was very smooth.
It was good.
Yeah, I liked it. And I'm not a champagne drinker either.
Well, she looks like the type who would be demanding Dom Perignon all the time.
Yep, that's who. That's how I roll, Johnny boy.
Yeah, well, that'll rack the bill up. Anyway, so
I got to tell you another funny thing, because you know we had a very interesting conversation. In fact, I think didn't the evening end in an argument where I was quite loud
politics.
And vocal.
Surprised you didn't take a swing at her.
Well, don't mess with my country. I'm very defensive about my country, and I think she even said, this is how it started. She said, I don't understand America. You elect a black president, and everyone's like, yay, we're no longer racist. Oh, yippee, black president. But then you vote against gay marriage.
As if there's a connection.
Yeah, and that was like, you know, it's almost like there was this huge switch in the middle of my forehead that said, pull here to watch explosion.
Well, I mean, at least
but that's the perception. That she's intelligent. That's the perception outside our borders. That's how it's presented.
Yeah, we're seen as wacky.
And by the way, it's as if the entire country has voted against gay marriage, which is not true.
Right. I mean, Maine is legal, and Massachusetts is a few places.
I mean, yeah, there's plenty of places, and more come online all the time. And but again, this
but they don't get that either. They don't get the states' rights things.
No, that the federal government is actually subservient to the states, which of course we've all forgotten.
Right. If they would get that, they would probably have a better shot at making the EU work.
Exactly.
Because they don't, the EU doesn't. You know, they there's no acknowledgement of individual countries' rights. I mean, they won't let the Swedes.
In fact, the Lisbon Treaty will remove the individual sovereign rights of each country.
Right.
What are you going to say about the Swedes?
Well, the Swedes can't put certain labels on their jellies, indicating where they're from, because it'll
violate some
somehow
EU
insults
thing.
The Germans or something like that. Because if I want to buy a jam made in Sweden, because they grow some berry up there that I like, I can't. They won't be able to label it in such a way that I'll know it's from Sweden and not from God knows where. That kind of thing. You know, it's ridiculous. And they're telling the French how to make cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. You know what's going to – the end result is they're going to actually – at some point, the EU is going to ban the manufacture of Roquefort cheese, which is a slightly poisonous product.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, Roquefortium, which is the –
So what is it? Is there some poison in there or something?
Yeah, it's you do enough research on it. If you don't make this stuff exactly right, you can cause it's like killing anybody. But it has a toxic quality to it. I mean, it's
so we have to get into Gitmo Nation, where something very interesting happened this week with Michael Savage, radio talk show host in the United States. And you sent me a link to the show, which I didn't listen to, but I was listening to the BBC World Service yesterday morning, and they had an entire item about it, and even an interview and soundbite with the Homeland Security Secretary Jackie Smith. You want to lay into it?
Yeah, go.
No, why don't you set it up?
Oh, I thought you had a clip.
No. I wish I were that prepared, John. That would mean I had an agenda.
So anyway, so what happened was Wacky Jackie put out a list of 16 people that are going to be banned from the UK because they simply don't like them.
Now remember, the last time someone was banned from the UK was Geert Wilders, the Dutch politician who made the anti-Islamic movie. And before that, it was Martha Stewart, who was not allowed into the United Kingdom because she was a convicted felon.
So they named Michael Savage in a list of essential Nazis, Islamic murderers, a whole bunch of really horrible, creepy people, and then him, because they thought his talk show, like the UK cares, was filled with hate speech or something like that.
That is not compatible with the culture and the laws of the United Kingdom.
Right. And so...
No one's ever heard of this guy in the United Kingdom ever. And why would he? Is he planning a trip? Did he file for a visa?
No,
they just put him on a freaking list for no reason.
Somebody put him on the list, and this is what everybody wants to know: why?
What the hell did he? Hold on, John. I got to blow my nose. Talk to the audience.
So anyway, the question is, why would they put this guy on the list? Who put him on the list? Because she doesn't know who he is. She just, you know, had some stooge do it. I think it's because it's either, you know, the big beef that he's gotten into was with the that CAIR, the Council of Islamic or American Islamic Relations, which is a front organization for God knows what. But they're pretty much, you know, a lot of it's a sketchy group. And but they're, you know, they managed to.
Who's this?
CAIR, the Council of American Islamic Relations. And they, you know, they hate a bunch of people. They hate Michael Savage because he's always harping on, you know, Islamists.
Ah, wait a minute. So you're Daniel telling me you're telling me this is why he was banned, because of his anti-Islamic attitude?
I think so.
Wait a minute. This makes no sense. Isn't that exactly what everyone's against?
I'm just telling you what I think. And they, you know, this CAIR group is again, you know, they've tried to submarine Daniel Pipes, who is a editorial writer, quite talented, who has a ongoing feud with this group. And I think that they have their fingers in a lot of pies. And I think obviously somewhere in the British Foreign Office, there's somebody, you know, that's that had, you know, let's get rid of this guy. Let's give him the, because Savage and CAIR had a lawsuit that was going back and forth over some misuse of his material. And Savage ended up winning the lawsuit, even though it was costly to him, against CAIR. And I think this is payback. I think CAIR, you know, said, okay, you think you're hot shot? Let me show you something that'll crack you up. And so they got somebody in England, obviously. I mean, it's a pretty big organization, well-funded. And there's probably obviously somebody in the British Foreign Office who just waltzed the name over to Wacky Jackie, who is an obvious moron. And here, this guy's got to be on this list. And boom, she puts him on. And these guys are laughing. Ha ha, this is hilarious. Look what we did. And meanwhile, now, of course, you know, the English are starting to listen to this guy because they never did before. There's a poll that was just taken by the Daily Mail, I think, and said that, you know, only 20. They said, should this guy be banned from England? And 80% of the readers said, no, he shouldn't. Well, why?
Who cares?
And so now I think an investigation is in order as to why this guy got on the list. Who did it?
But will I even be able to return to the United Kingdom? Will I be able to return to the United States? I mean, this puts everybody in jeopardy.
Yeah, it does.
This is and can this guy not be seen as a part of free press? As, you know, just a little thing you might want to mention.
As far as everybody's concerned, everybody except, of course, he harps on this. You know, everybody's interviewed him and talked about this on most of the networks. And the curious thing about it, which he brought up on one of his shows recently, his shows, by the way, are just now interviews with other people supporting him. So it's really boring. It's hard to listen to.
Of course.
But is the fact that Fox News will not cover the story.
Really?
Yeah, Fox News, the big conservative, you know, fair and balanced, blah, blah, blah. They won't cover it. And the curious, and I don't know why, but obviously somebody at Fox has got the same kind of hard-on for this guy. And they refuse to even touch it with a 10-foot pole. They won't let anybody talk about it. It's just strange.
So very interesting, though, when you think about who has been banned from the United Kingdom. So you have, and I'm not against any religion or any group of people for anything, except morons. I think we should kill all morons. But you know,
you have hatred against morons.
So this is another thing that's in the news, is the hate speech regulations. Have you been following any of that?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So what is it now? I didn't quite catch it. Pedophiles are protected under the Hate Speech Act, but veterans weren't. I mean, it was weird.
Yeah, these things, you know, start going into things like hate speech, which is nebulous at best. It's becomes a
but what is wrong with hate speech? What is wrong with hate speech?
Well, I think it's protected by the Constitution.
Yes, it should. In the United States, it is protected by the Constitution.
Yeah, I would think. I hate you.
But define hate. It. So is that hate speech?
No, I don't know. I mean, I get a lot of people to think I'm a crumb bum for, you know, saying negative things about the Macintosh, and you go on a forum, there'd be some guy ranting and raving. That's hate speech.
Yeah, we should sue him.
Well, if you can get the hate speech thing to work, yeah, it sounds reasonable.
This is going to be so messed up if all this stuff passes.
I mean, for one thing, is a definition issue. I mean, what is hate speech?
How about criticism of a movie? If you can define hate, then I guess you can define love as well.
I thought the new Star Trek movie sucked.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to jail.
I mean, you know, what is hate speech? I mean, is saying something sucks or you dislike something? I mean, I know what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be where somebody's just hit nothing but, you know, vile, invective. But even that is supposed to be.
But define vile, invective. Define that.
It's protected.
Of course it's protected. You're not allowed to commit assault. And I don't know where verbal assault falls into that category.
Maybe, I don't know.
If it even exists.
I don't know. I'm baffled myself. So,
Verbal abuse you can get jailed for if you verbally abuse your spouse.
Yeah. So anyway, so with,
who you might just hate.
He's suing the British, or Jackie Smith in particular, for libel. I think he has a case.
Yeah, he does, particularly if he sues her in the UK.
Yeah, and he's got lawyers in the UK right now.
Excellent. Excellent.
So I think that would be
great. You think the UK is nutty in Gitmo Nation West here. Now, you've probably seen this if you watch Fox. I saw Fox talking about it. And, of course, we'll put this in the show notes at noagenda.mevio.com. The domestic extremism lexicon.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, we had to post that.
This is from
That's the thing that they redacted that, by the way, but it got onto the net.
But this is the unredacted version, I think, right?
I don't know. I don't know for sure.
So it's from Department of Homeland Security, and it's a definition list from something called the UFOUO. What does that stand for?
It's mentioned in there somewhere. I think maybe at the end of the document they tell you what that means.
Let me look at the end of the document.
And this is a great document. People have to download it. It'll be on the website.
I don't.
It's in there, believe me, because I saw it.
So anyway, it's essentially a tool. It's a reference aid is what, you know, from time to time, Department of Homeland Security releases these, it's like part of the syllabus, you know, like the educational system. Okay, here's the new Encyclopedia Britannica. This is the new official use only, it's unclassified though, official use only domestic extremism lexicon. And maybe I should just read the, a bit of the intro so you get the gist of it. Homeland Security reference aids prepared by the Department of Homeland Security Office of Intelligence and Analysis. I've never heard of that office, which is known as INA, provide baseline information on a variety of Homeland Security issues. This product is one in a series of reference aids designed to provide operational and intelligence advice and assistance to other elements of the Department of Homeland Security, as well as state, local, and regional fusion centers. My friend John, what's a fusion center?
I have no idea.
DHS and IA intends this background information to assist federal, state, local, and tribal homeland security and law enforcement officials in conducting analytic activities. This is frightening. This product provides definitions for key terms and phrases that often appear in DHS analysis that addresses the nature and scope of the threat that domestic non-Islamic extremism poses to the United States.
Yeah, it sounds like something from the 60s.
Definitions were derived from a variety of open source materials and unclassified information, then further developed during facilitated workshops with DHS intelligence analysis knowledgeable about domestic non-Islamic extremism in the United States. Okay. I fit in every single one of these categories.
Yeah.
Including the Black Panthers.
The Black Panthers.
So the second one right at the top is the alternative media, a term used to describe various information sources that provide a forum for interpretations of events and issues that differ radically from those presented in mass media products and outlets.
Yeah, I mean, that's an extremist threat to the United States, my friend. Extremist.
This program is now officially a non-Islamic extremist threat to the United States.
I actually think we're mainstream.
Ooh, I like that. We can fight it on that, can't we?
We are mainstream. We got 400,000 uniques a month. This is more than most newspapers get. We have a lot of normal listeners. I mean, not everybody. We don't have a cult. We don't have much except for our knighthoods and the squireships and some of this crazy British stuff that we're doing for our producers. But essentially, we're mainstream. So let's get over that part. So that doesn't count.
Okay. Denial of service attack is listed here. That's just a reference. I thought it was interesting. I picked that up. Green anarchism, hacktivism. I like this. The use of cyber technologies to achieve a political end or technology enabled political or social activism. Well, that's the Obama campaign right there. Hacktivism might include website defacements, denial of service attacks, hacking into the target's network to introduce malicious software, malware, or information theft. I thought Jewish extremism was interesting.
What's that?
A movement of groups.
You're not in that list.
No, I'm not on. No, I'm not on this list.
A movement. Which one of these things you think you are?
Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me just go up to the top for a second. Hold on. So we already had. Above ground. A term used to describe extremist groups or individuals who operate overtly and portray themselves as law-abiding. Yep, that would be me.
So, that's everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you abide to the law? You damn extremist!
Law-abiding.
It's the number one. It's the top list. Okay, so here's the list. Everybody, and then we're going to categorize everybody. So it's above ground, alternative media... anarchist extremism, I think I fit into part of that. A movement of groups or individuals who associate a society devoid of government structure or ownership of individual property. No, I don't feel that way, but many embrace some of the radical philosophical components of anti-capitalist, anti-globalization, communist, socialist, and other movements.
So if you're anti-global, you're an extremist.
Yes. Yes.
So if you're pro-American and anti-global, you're an extremist.
Yeah. Well, you're a non-Islamic extremist.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. But you're okay. I just wanted to get that straight for people out there to know.
All right. So animal rights, no. Anti-abortion, no. Anti-immigration, no. Anti-technology, no. Aryan prison gang, well, not anymore. the black bloc, no, black nationalism, black power, black separatism, Christian identity, Cuban independence, extremism, decentralized terrorist movement, denial of service, direct action? Environmental, no. Oh, wait a minute. Let me just see. If it says you're against global warming, maybe. You never know. No. Ethnic-based, extremist group, green, hacktivism, no. Hate, Jewish, leaderless resistance, left-wing, lone terrorist, an individual motivated by extremist ideology to commit acts of criminal violence independent of any larger terrorist organization. Mexican separatism, that's an interesting one.
Oh, really? Huh.
Militia movement, neo-Nazis, patriot movement. Uh-oh. A term used by right-wing extremists to link their beliefs to those commonly associated with the American Revolution. The patriot movement primarily comprises violent anti-government groups such as militias and sovereign citizens. And then the only one that has artwork with it is the Phineas Priesthood. And they have a Phineas Priesthood symbol. So they show, which is a P with a line through the middle of it.
Yeah. I wonder why they put that in there. Is that code or something? Maybe the guy who did the report is in that group.
It's kind of, that's weird.
So it's kind of creepy if you think about it.
It's a Christian identity doctrine derived from the biblical story of Phineas, which adherents interpret as justifying interracial killing. Followers of this belief system also have advocated martyrdom and violence against homosexuals, mixed-race couples, and abortion providers. But why the logo is here, I don't understand. That's a little freaky.
It's odd, yes.
Right-wing extremism, we probably fit in that. A movement of right-wing groups or individuals who can be broadly divided into those who are primarily hate-oriented.
That's not us. It's not us.
And those who are mainly anti-government and reject federal authority in favor of state or local authority.
Wait a minute. That's almost 90% of the Republicans. People who reject federal authority and prefer state authority are extremist radicals?
No, anti-Islamic extremists. Get it right, will you?
Jeez. Okay. That's our government at work. Trying to criminalize everything.
Tax resistance movement. So all you teabaggers, groups or individuals who vehemently believe... I love these words. Vehemently. Is it vehemently or vehemently?
No, it's vehemently.
Vehemently. Which is like vigorous, I guess. Vehemently believe taxes violate their constitutional rights. Among their beliefs are that wages are not income, that paying income taxes is voluntary, and that the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which allowed Congress to levy taxes on income, was not properly ratified. This is the IRS got to write something in here. Members have been known to advocate or engage in criminal activity and plot acts of violence and terrorism in an attempt to advance their extremist goals. They often target government entities such as the Internal Revenue Service and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Since when did explosives get added to the ATF?
I was just going to ask you the same question.
That's amazing. Any new jackets?
So this alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives, that's the new moniker?
Yeah.
It used to be that one by us.
Yeah, it used to be the ATF.
Yeah. Now it's the ATFE.
ATFE. Maybe they just wanted a new wardrobe.
Yeah, that's always possible.
We need some new jackets. Let's change our name. Violent anti-war extremism. Oh, you can't be anti-war, of course. A movement of groups or individuals who advocate or engage in criminal activity and plot acts of violence and terrorism in an attempt to voice their opposition to U.S. involvement in war-related activities. Jeez Louise. Then we get a whole bunch of white nationalism, white power, white separatism, white supremacists, and that's it.
How come they don't have any Chinese Tong gangs in there? It's like there's Chinese gangs and where's the mafia? Is it listed?
No, of course not.
Huh.
That's Joe's buddies. I'm not going to put Joe's buddies on the list.
Well, anyway, it's abhorrent, this document.
Yeah, lovely word. That, and I think it describes it perfectly. Something we could have come up with, John, if you go to financialcrisiscards.com. Boy, what a misser this was. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Ugh, that would have been so... Turn down your speakers.
They're as low as they go. I can barely hear you now.
Well, one word, headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're... And I actually have a deck of the Iraqi playing cards.
Yeah, I have a deck, too. Yeah. I couldn't resist.
Did you get a lighter, too?
No, I never got the lighter.
Oh, I have a lighter where Saddam is on the lighter, and when you click the lighter, then he lights up like the devil.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I should dig that out. I have it somewhere in my...
Yeah, post it.
And I wanted to mention, since we've been forgetting to do this... Well, let me pull this open. The No Agenda Forums at noagendaforums.com is... they're trying to get something going there, and I, of course, highly appreciate it. And they have some kind of, what do they have going? They had a news contest. Here we go. So I'll put a link in the show notes to encourage posting in the Gitmo Nation news category. I'd like to announce the first ever No Agenda Forums Gitmo Nation news contest. So go check that out at noagendaforums.com.
We haven't thanked Bubba for a long time.
Yeah, we haven't.
Katie Martin, who posts this on both the cagematch.dvorak.org and on the dvorak.org/blog.
And I wouldn't mind if one of our producers out there, from time to time, if you guys would try some artwork for us, because that kind of started to slip away as well. And, we're always looking for – we always forget the show title. We always wind up calling each other back. Oh, what we're going to call the show, and based upon that is where we kind of search for artwork. But it's more fun when the audience comes up with the artwork. Just like they've come up with a couple of jingles, John.
We are the Knights of the No Agenda. Knights of the No Agenda. Knights of the No Agenda. And we suck.
And we suck.
And we suck. Yeah, well. The Knights of No Agenda will be on that next list the government puts out.
Oh, yeah.
Just who is they?
Just who is they?
It's cute.
It is cute. That's quite good. You should keep that one. That's a keeper.
I like the Knights of No Agenda, too. I'm keeping
Well, we'll play that again when another knight arrives.
Yes.
We've only got three. We need 10. And we're going to phase two. So I want to remind people to go to Dvorak.org/NA or noagendalibrary.com and donate this week. Keep things going. And I appreciate the $1,500 donations, or take out a subscription for $24 or $2 a month. That's Dvorak.org/NA.
Or feel free to make us some artwork, make us some jingles, promote us. And I have to say, we're trying to keep these shows under 80 minutes, and people are like, oh, you're stupid. No one burns shows to CDs.
That's not true.
I beg to differ. Yeah.
I do it all the time.
I do it too. I love it. Yeah. I have one of those transmitters. In fact, I have the official Nokia, car charger/transmitter, which you plug in, and then you can set the frequency, and then you have a little transmitter. Now, these transmitters, I know what Nokia is thinking, but could you please put like some serious wattage in that shit? Because it never, ever works. There's always crackling, static, you know, it just doesn't work.
I think it has to come through the antenna, so you have to get some gaffer's tape and glue the phone to the roof of your car so it can hit the antenna nearby. Another good reason to have gaffer's tape with you.
Hook us up with some link love, you know, link to us.
Could use a few more listeners. More the merrier.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people have already bailed out. They say, the show's too long, or they say we're begging for money too much, which is not true, because we only beg for a few minutes out of, you know, 80. And,
If people would rather hear Audible commercials, I mean, I'm happy to go that route.
You know, Audible and half a dozen other things on and on. I would really like to avoid that, because I think there's a flow to this show that it could be interrupted with a commercial now and again, but I don't like the idea. If we don't have to, why would we? And public support for a show like this, or like, you know, you see it with PBS.
It's our lifeblood. It's lifeblood.
You know, it's a positive thing, and it makes people more involved, and they listen with more intensity because they're producers.
And look at the difference we're making. Look at this 16-year-old producer from the UK. You know, kid's catching on. He's not taking the crap that's being shoveled down his throat in school, you know. He turned one person onto us. That's one more. And it's not that we have any kind of agenda.
And you never know. This guy could, one of our listeners could end up on a jury while you are on trial.
Thank you very much.
And they might save
your ass.
Yeah, could be saved, because, you know, you said something bad about Monsanto, or you're part of, you know, a verge
an anti-globalist movement.
You're an anti-globalist, and you're now, up for being found out as a felon, and they'll make the anti-globalists sex offenders somehow. Oh, I mean, that's the latest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the trend. There was an excellent article in the New York Times, John, that I just wanted to ask our listeners to go take a look at. Because, you know, while our children are being miseducated, we, of course, are indoctrinated daily. John Broder wrote his article, Seeking to Save the Planet with a Thesaurus. And I'll just read the first couple of paragraphs. The problem with global warming, some environmentalists believe, is, quote, global warming. The term turns people off. Now, we've talked about this because, remember, it went from global warming to climate change. Listen to what's next. The term turns people off, fostering images of shaggy-haired liberals, economic sacrifice, and complex scientific disputes, according to extensive polling and focus group sessions conducted by Eco America, a nonprofit environmental marketing and messaging firm in Washington. This is how the shit's being sold to you.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of grim warnings about global warming, the firm advises to talk about our deteriorating atmosphere. Drop discussions of carbon dioxide and bring up moving away from the dirty fuels of the past. Don't confuse people with cap and trade. Use terms like cap and cash back or pollution reduction refund. I got a hard on, John. This is fantastic.
Wow, this is good stuff. Now, this is good stuff.
Pollution reduction refund. This will happen at the supermarket where you're used to getting cash back. You will be capping, cashing back, and on your receipt, you will be congratulated for money you gave to the pollution reduction refund something.
Yeah. Right.
When you buy your Monsanto products in your local supermarket.
You have to send me a link to this. This is good stuff.
Well, if you look at the show notes in a minute.
But this is what's going on and this kind of thing. And it's because, people, when you give your donation to Dvorak.org/Anna, you have to realize that both Adam and I are actually involved in the media in such a way that we know how some of these mechanisms work, because we work with public relations companies all the time and the kind of skills they have and how they do, grassroots things that are
how
fake.
They do it. And if you watch Mad Men, the fantastic series on TMC, which is about the beginning, and I was in advertising for half of my life on Madison Avenue at the highest levels, you will see how Madison Avenue sold cigarettes, which, neither here nor there, but watch how they do it. It's the script actually lays it out how these huge governmental policies were put in place by advertising agencies.
Yeah. Well, the criminalization of marijuana was a public relations oriented thing, largely done by the Hearst Corporation and others. In fact, on our next show, I do want to talk about the fact that Schwarzenegger says that maybe the debate on legalizing marijuana in California should be opened up, and I have a bunch of interesting information about that I think we'll discuss on Sunday.
Huh. So Sunday I will be back at home base. Which means I don't know if I'll have enough time to get sound clips and do a lot of show prep, but we'll be kind of back to the normal time. I think I arrive around 2 or so. So I should be in time. I got to recuperate a little bit, so maybe we'll do a little bit later on Sunday, John.
Sure.
But not too late. And it'll just be good to be back at our normal times.
Yeah, and then we can stream.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to go to the office, and I'll stream this from the office, and then I'll do the upload.
And I have another interlude coming out this week, so people who like to listen to it.
Oh, good. Yeah, I have paid zero attention to the stream, but I know people are still listening to it, so that is highly appreciated. Coming to you from an undisclosed Crackpot Command Center in San Francisco, I'm Adam Curry.
And from the Buzzkill Bunker in Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again on Sunday, right here on No Agenda.